Good morning.
Good morning.
So, do you have a Bible? We're going to have a different morning today, okay? So, you need your Bible. You probably need a pen and paper. Or wherever you take notes or what, anything. Okay, have you ever wondered why we sing? Why do we have this, why do Christians sing? Why do we spend such a large portion of our time on a morning singing? Is it because people have composed songs and, well, so we need to sing? Or somebody thought it was a good idea and it's become culture? Christian culture that has been passed down through the centuries, and singing has changed over the years, and singing is good. Yeah. Psalm says, sing unto the Lord. It comes. Okay. So it's good to refresh ourselves, okay? We want to be people of the word, and we want to know why we do what we do, so that this is not just a Sunday morning ritual, okay? So, is singing an option? Is it okay to have, to be a Christian and not sing? I mean, you can have church services where you don't sing, don't have to sing. No? Okay. Okay, scripture tells us singing is not an option, it's a command. Have you ever thought of it? It's a command. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. How? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. Amazing, isn't it? Ephesians 5:18 and 19 says, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Amazing, yeah? Does he say when you feel like it? He says, sing. So it's not just, it was okay for David to do it. It was an Old Testament thing. You're commanded to do that in the New Testament as well. So when you sing, you dig your roots deep into the Word of God. Okay, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? Singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That's one of the ways, okay? So singing is one of the two chief ways the Word of God dwells in us, apart from listening to the Word and reading the Word. So is it? Some people look at it as just a warm-up for the sermon. And so you'll have people come in 1 hour later because they're coming for the main thing. They're coming for the sermon. I think they're missing out on a very important aspect. Because really, in the sermon, you are receiving. But in worship, what are you doing? You are giving. You are giving. Worship is not about you. Worship is about God. It's good to refresh our memories and to remind ourselves why we do what we do. This is the one time we say we can bring, it says, bring a sacrifice of praise. Bring your offering of worship. Yeah? And this is the one time when we are totally focused on God. As C.J. Mahoney says, singing in church is what he calls take-home theology. Amazing. Think about it. It's take home theology. What does that mean? Therefore, we need to be careful about what we sing. And I know we take great pains here to sift through many songs so that the songs that we sing in church are full of scripture, full of the word. They are rich in faith and encouragement. Okay? And they are God glorifying and they are Christ and cross centered. And so we sift the songs out a lot. So you might find we don't sing a lot of songs you make that may get sung elsewhere, and there's a reason. Yeah? It's take home theology. I always say, when you go home, you go back humming a tune. Often people tell me, you know, I was singing that whole song the whole week. I don't hear people saying, and with due respect, I was singing the sermon the whole week. People often don't even remember the sermon, but they remember songs. So what we sing is very, very important. You agree with me?
Yeah.
You want me to give you some more reasons? Another reason we worship is because it builds up, we build up each other. Because it says, sing to one another. It says, sing to one another. Okay, Ephesians 5:19 says, sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We see the same thing in Colossians 3:16. It says, sing to one another. Okay? And there's so much of one another in scripture. Sing to one another, forgive one another, bear with each other, love one another. Okay? So that's what we're going to start with this morning. The other thing is, we always say that if someone who never heard about Jesus walked into this meeting, and they could only stay for the first 45 minutes of the meeting, would they hear the gospel? Okay? So we always look that in our set list, the gospel comes through in the lyrics and in the song. So not only does it build up the believer, but it also has a message for someone who's never heard about Jesus. They'll know who he is, what he's like, what he's done, and what he's continuing to do for you. So we have a rich, rich heritage in our singing. Okay? So let's engage with the song. And when there's a part in the song that is not Godward, let's look at each other, because we're supposed to encourage each other. So when I'm singing, Forever You Will Be the Lamb Upon the Throne, who's the focus? Jesus. So obviously our countenance is heavenward, we are focusing on Jesus. But when I say, our God is greater, our God is stronger, who am I saying that to? We're saying it to one another. We're saying, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. He is higher than any other. And so we build each other. We remind each other, hey, we belong to a great God, a faithful God, an amazing God. So shall we do that this morning?
Yes.
Hey. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and fill this place. Even as we've come with hearts ready to worship you and to give you our everything, we ask that you would anoint our worship. We ask for your presence to be so evident here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Into the dark.
Okay, how is he greater? Now that we've shared the great, how great God is in our lives, let's sing that chorus one more time. Okay? We still see we've got to get used to looking at each other in the eye in church. Isn't it? We much rather do this. But look at each other and say, my God is great. My God is wonderful. Evan? I know it's difficult because we've got used to certain patterns of behavior. Maybe you want to do it in your group. You have a comfort level in your group. Tell each other, my God is great. My God is strong. For his faithfulness. Lift your voices now and just make your own prayer and your own confession to God. Jesus, we thank you that you are faithful to the very end. You're faithful no matter what the circumstance, no matter what we've done, no matter what things have been done to us, no matter whether we've failed you or we've been faithful to you, you are faithful to the very end. You've said that you cannot disown yourself. Even if we are faithless, you are faithful. We thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you that you are utterly and completely dependable. Thank you for that love that you demonstrated on the cross, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's sit. I told you it's going to be a different morning today. The fourth thing, we make war. We make war when we sing. Do you know examples of people who sang and made war? Jehoshaphat, Joshua, he went with the Levites and the trumpets. And what happened? The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. We can't understand it. New Testament, who did this? When Paul and Silas were in prison, were they saying, maybe we shouldn't have preached over there, we should have gone there, we should have met in so-and-so's home, nobody would have known that we were preaching. And did they do an analysis and said, how can we avoid this the next time? Let's do a debrief. Thanks. What did they do? They were singing at midnight. Okay? It says they sang. And what happened? Their chains fell off. Hello? Familiar with this story, or should we read it? Their chains fell off, right? Yes. You know that, right? Yes. What made the chains fall?
The earth shook.
Their focus on God. Their hearts of thanksgiving. So you sing when you're happy and you sing when you're sad. Sing. Okay? Sing. The other thing is, it's very interesting. It says, I've got some notes here. It says, it's very hard to lie, to be greedy, to be inappropriate in any way, to have sin in your heart if you're singing and making melody to the Lord. So simply, a heart that's singing, it's not easy to give in to temptation. Think about it. If you're singing praise to God, can you click on pornography? I don't think so. I think it'd be very difficult. Yeah? So just sing. Sing to God. Okay? If you're worried about your finances, sing to God. Say, God, you're faithful. You're faithful in all your ways. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. You know, in times of lack, I choose to praise. You will supply my need. And when you sing that, what happens? Faith rises in your... You can answer. Faith rises in your heart. Okay? When you sing, you are spiritually strengthened for trial. We just looked at Paul and Silas. So you sing even in suffering. Yeah? And here's a clincher from James 5:13. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. So if you're cheerful and you're happy, it's not a time to forget God. It's a time to give thanks for His love endures forever. See, brothers and sisters, why am I doing this? Because we can come Sunday after Sunday, yeah? And we say, okay, we're going to sing two fast songs and two slow songs, and then we'll have breaking of bread, and maybe we'll sing a song for offering, and then we'll have prayer. And it can become a modern charismatic litany. Isn't it? But let's remind ourselves of why we do what we do. And let's come and give a sacrifice of praise this morning. Let's remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. Okay, so let's stand. Let's get into our groups of three. And can you share very briefly a time in your life when things were not going good, and how God's faithfulness or the love of God came and encouraged you, either through scripture, encouraged you through a friend, or encouraged you through a song? Okay, anybody want to share their favorite song? Okay, When I Survey. Amazing Grace. God Will Make a Way. I Need You, Lord. 10,000 Reasons. Anyone else? Life.
He's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any
He's King Jesus. Let's stand to our feet and worship.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still.
Jesus. As you're singing, this verse was just coming to me. That is John 10, verse 28. It says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Amen. God is faithful. We have been singing about his faithfulness today morning. And no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Austin, my Bible was open to that very verse. Hallelujah. God is speaking. You know, John 10:28, same thing. And it's really good. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, what superb assurance we have. Our going to heaven and our completing our life on earth is not dependent just on us, but Jesus is enabling us to complete that race. He is for us. He's for you. He is with you. Amen.
I just want to share from 1 Peter 1, 3 onwards. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I've been holding on to this verse from the beginning of worship, and when Austin and Colin brought this verse about us not being able to be snatched away from God's hand. It's not just the relationship. There's also an inheritance that God has prepared for us that we have to look forward to, which is not perishable. It won't spoil or fade.
Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, this can be your assurance this morning, that if you put your faith in him, it is forever. Okay, he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He says, he will keep you strong till the end. He who has begun a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. What is it talking about? Until the day of Christ, his return, or when everything finally comes to an end. What an amazing, amazing assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
Now today you reign. majesty gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever I will love you. You are the